I wish to express my gratitude unto you all, your unworthy teacher, in sending me the gift of money and the beautiful card during the past week. Year after year, you have shown your appreciation, your love, and your affection to me in this way. As you all know, at first, when you denned this to me, I returned the money back to the church, returned it to the building fund. Some of you thought that that wasn't right. So you sent me a gift certificate from some store to which I was compelled to go to purchase something. So this proved to me that you wanted me personally to have what you sent me, so that it was not for the church or for the building fund, but for me personally. I wish to thank you gratefully for the great amount that you gathered together and sent to me. As you know, I am but a poor, ignorant teacher. I lack so much in teaching God's word. My teaching is not with the words, enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is plain, simple, and easy for everyone to understand. Likewise, teaching you, I have to go to God in secret and pray to him that he will unfold the mysteries of his word for me. And with this, usually in secret and studying his word and meditating upon it, I come up to this Bible class every Lord's Day, hoping and praying that God will use the feeble instruction that he has given me and which I wish to give unto you to the benefit of your immortal souls. It would please me beyond anything that I could say if the teaching would, by his Spirit, be applied to some poor sinner, and that that sinner may be led to Christ Jesus and may be given to find a full and a complete salvation in this precious Savior. This service, I assure you, is not for money. It is a labor of love to the Lord and to the souls of those that come up to listen. I wish that every one of you would remember me at the throne of grace, that you would carry me up and ask God to anoint me with his blessed Spirit. For I lament my ignorance, my insufficiency to this weighty task. But I can assure you that I would not be standing here before you had not God laid this burden upon me. It is his will that I do this work, and I have found him to be with me in this work. And woe be unto me if I, in a fit of rebellion, should run away from it like Jonah did. All pray that God may enlighten me and lead me and guide me by his Spirit, and that he may bless it to your immortal souls. Yea, that in that great day of accounts, when you and I will stand before God, when all the secret of our hearts will be judged by Jesus Christ, that not one word that we have taught you may witness against me or against you. The Lord be with us as we again attempt to teach this last Sabbath day of the year. We have been given health and strength to be before you every Lord's Day. We have not failed once to be here. May God continue to give us this blessing, that we may continue to teach to his honor, to his glory. Our lesson today is found in the Gospel of Matthew and of Mark and of John. It is the lesson, Jesus walking upon the waves of the sea. We find that Jesus had fed 5,000 people. If you remember the lesson before the Christmas lesson, this was what we had. He had fed a multitude of people out of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. These people, they had seen the miracle that Christ had done. They were astounded. They were so filled with wonder and amazement. They had been listening to him practically all day long where he had been teaching them. And they were so convinced that he was the prophet that Moses had spoken of who would come and teach them. Not only had he taught them wonderful things, but he had climaxed the day with giving unto them food to eat. He had multiplied the loaves and the fishes, and so everyone was fed and nourished. And when they seen this miracle performed, why then, they in their minds already were ready to take Jesus back to Jerusalem and make him king over them. When Jesus perceived that they were going to do this, then he straightway compelled his disciples to get into the ship to sail across the sea, for he seen that even his disciples were of the same opinion. They likewise had nothing else in mind but that Jesus would be their earthly king, that he would reign over them. And now when they seen this great multitude, 5,000 people of the same opinion, they went right along with them. Oh, they wanted to take Jesus and put him on the throne in Jerusalem so that he would be their king. Why, with what he had done, they needn't worry about being fed. He had all power at his command, and surely they would easy triumph over the Romans, and then they would have Jesus as king, and they were nearest to him, they would have positions next to him. But now when Jesus perceived this, he compelled his disciples to go into the ship. He constrained them, the Bible says. In other words, he forced them. He made them go into the ship. They were reluctant to go. They did not want to go. And they wanted to stay with the multitude, and they wanted to be with them and take him back to Jerusalem and make him king. But now Jesus, he knew what these people wanted to do with him. There was none of them that wanted him to be king over their souls. They needed him not as a savior, but they only wanted him as an earthly king. They needed not Jesus to come into their hearts and to convict them of sin and to turn them back unto God. This they had no thought of. And Jesus knew this, and therefore he compelled his disciples to get into the boat and to leave the multitude, and he spake unto the multitude, and he constrained the multitude to return back. And when they had turned away from him, we find that he did not go to the sea to follow his disciples, but he went up on a mountain apart, alone, and it was evening, and he went there to pray. Jesus then went alone, went on his knees, and began to beseech his heavenly Father for his church, for his disciples, and likewise for himself, where he knew what he had to pass through in suffering and in dying for his church. Therefore, he went in secret alone and prayed. He spent almost all night in prayer. My hearers, Jesus gives us an example here. He went alone to pray. He also taught that if we wanted to pray, we should enter into our closets, we should shut our doors, and we should beseech our Heavenly Father in secret, and he would reveal it unto us in the open. And Jesus then sets me and you an example. Do you know of a time that you wanted to be alone, to pour out your heart unto the Lord? Have you ever had a time in your life that you sought secret places, that you shunned all company, that you wanted to go to God, to confess to God what you were? And you found when you were given to do this such nearness to God that actually you were nothing but prayer. You remember a time like that in your life? Oh, prayer was your element. Prayer was something that you delighted to do. Prayer was something whereby you talked to God in heaven above and you found that God talked to you. You received answers. You found his presence round about you. Oh, what a mercy to have the Spirit inwardly urge us and prompt us to go in secret to pray. You ever have a time like that? What a blessed time. Oh, then nobody had to stand behind us and say, you better go and pray. Nobody had to compel us or constrain us. No, it was that we loved to do so. Oh, we walked with God and we talked with God and we told him that we loved him. And we thought, sure, it would not be a long time before we would be with God in heaven above. Oh, how different it went than what we thought. What a different experience have we had than what we first thought. All this time was a wonderful time, which you can never forget. But oh, to lose this spirit of prayer, oh, to find no access, no nearness, to realize that his presence isn't round about you, to try to pray and not be able to find that you're so hard, so cold, so prayerless, so feelingless. Oh, what a miserable state you have found yourself to be in. Have you found yourself to be there? Oh, when you consider how it was in the beginning and how it is now, and now you attempt to go alone, you attempt to pray, but oh, it's useless, you say. You ever stand up from your knees and say, well, I don't know why I got down here. I sinned more when I was here than if I had not done it. Oh, my hearers, this teaches us the necessity of him who spent whole nights in prayer. The apostle speaks of Jesus, that when he was in the flesh, then he sent up strong cries and prayers with many tears and was heard of God in that he feared him. This was what Jesus did when he was here upon earth, and this is what every one of his children are given to do. Strong cries and tears they send up to God. But now Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. He is a mediator. He is an intercessor, an advocate for poor, prayerless creatures who don't know how to pray, who have lost all ability to do so. And now you have such need of Jesus that he may be your advocate, your mediator, your intercessor. This is your prayer, that he would reveal that he is there for you, that he is pleading your cause on high. Jesus then is alone on a mountain in the dark night praying to his Father. Oh, I wish that every one of us had such a desire to go alone and to seek God's face and to pray to him as Jesus did when he was here on earth. And now the disciples, they had went into the ship and they had set sail. Ah, they were discouraged. Oh, they had thought surely Jesus was going to be carried to Jerusalem and they were going to be somebody. But no, they had to do as he told them to do. So they set sail. And oh, they were so sitting together with each other. And there comes a storm on the sea, a storm they had never expected. When they set sail, it was nice and calm, but all of a sudden the wind came up. And soon they were in the midst of the sea, and the waves were beating against the ship, and the wind was contrary. Here these disciples then were in the midst of a great storm. Don't you think they remember that they were in a storm before? You remember we had a lesson that they were in a storm, but the difference was then that they had Jesus on board the ship. And when it got so that they thought the ship was going to sink, then they went to him because he was asleep in the back part of the ship. And they awoke him. And he arose and he calmed the wind and the sea. And he rebuked them for their unbelief, for their fears that they had, because he was with them. I'm thinking they remembered that. But now, Jesus wasn't on board the ship. Now they were in the midst of this storm and all what was going to become of them. Oh, they took down the sails because the wind was contrary. It was blowing them the wrong way. So they took out the oars and began to row with all their might and all their strength to get to the other side of the sea. But they succeeded not. They were toiling and rowing, and they seemed to get nowheres. These disciples then were in deep trouble. And now these disciples were going through a very dark night, toiling and laboring against the wind and against the sea. This teaches us that many of God's dear children go through a night season. Oh, when night comes upon a soul, my hearers, then they likewise are in deep trouble. Then they can't see any signs or any evidences anymore of the work of God in their hearts. Then Satan comes and accuses them and points out to them their many failures, their many sins and iniquities, and they have nothing to say to him. It's so true what he brings home to them. Oh, then they have such unbelief rising up in their hearts, and they are so troubled. They are tossed to and fro concerning where they will spend eternity. Oh, should they die in this case? Should they die in the midst of this distress? Oh, where would they be? They had hoped, they had prayed that Jesus, they longed to have him and possess him, but now it didn't seem as if they would ever find him. A night season through which many of God's dear children pass through. This is what these disciples were passing through. And now Jesus was on the top of this mountain. Jesus knew, as God, that they were in this trouble, in this distress. He saw them toiling and laboring in this manner. But he did not immediately go to them. So likewise, if you are toiling and laboring concerning your immortal soul's destiny, and you find that Jesus doesn't come just right away. And now when Jesus seen them in this way, he was filled with compassion, filled with pity, and he knew what troubles they were in. Are you in trouble? Are you passing through difficulties? Oh, Jesus knows this. He sees you just as well as he saw these disciples. And he's just abiding his time when he shall come to you. And now it was the fourth watch of the night. And then Jesus came down from the mountain. And he took a ship and he went to them? No. We find that he began to walk upon the waves. He began to go to his disciples. A tumultuous sea, rough water, the wind blowing, and Jesus begins to walk upon the sea. Oh, how wonderful, how majestic this glorious person is. He who was the creator of the seas and of the dry land. He who can do all things, he commences to walk upon the sea. For the waves were high and great and strong and the wind blowing, but this did not cause Jesus to sink. But Jesus did not sink. And so you, soul, if you are one of his dear children, no matter how many waves, no matter how many trials, no matter how many afflictions you may go through, that you think you are going to sink, you will never sink. He will see to it that his people will never sink, no matter how much grief and sorrow you have to go through in this life. He is with you upon every wave that comes upon you. He sends these storms, he sends these troubles in love so that you will learn to know your helplessness, your weakness, so that you will need him. He then begins to walk on the waves of the sea, and he comes near to the ship that the disciples are in. And now when these disciples were given to see someone walking upon the waves of the sea, I think in my imagination there must have been some rays of his glory shining forth from his person. And when these disciples seen this vision in this night, they seen somebody coming towards them, they became frightened, so frightened that they cried out in all their fear. They had been accustomed to sailing this sea. This was nothing new to them. They had been more than once in a storm, but they never had seen something like this. They never seen a vision like this. They cried out, "This is a spirit, this is a ghost." This is what they were afraid of. They were filled with fear and anxiety. Here they were in a great storm, and then they seen this. This would be enough to make you and I afraid too. We were in a dark night on the sea, and we seen something shining and coming towards us. But Jesus knew their fears. He knew their cries, and he heard them. And he spake unto them and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Oh, when they heard this voice, how wonderful it must have sounded to them. This was the voice that had called them when they were fishermen. This was the voice that said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This voice had such power and such love and such affection in it that they had to leave everything, and they followed him. This was the voice that they had been accustomed to listening to. Oh, this sweet, this melodious voice, "Be of good cheer." Oh, do not be so concerned. Do not be so distressed. Be of good cheer. It is I. He manifest himself unto them. It is I. You needn't be afraid that you're going to sink. You needn't be afraid that you're going to drown. I am here. I protect you. It is I that is here. Oh, be not afraid. How wonderful were these words to these disciples in the midst of all their fears and anxieties. These words calmed their souls and calmed their spirits. Oh, they were immediately brought to an end of being so afraid and so excited and so concerned about what they saw. Have you ever experienced something like this, my hearers? Have you ever been in distress? Have you ever been in a night season? Have you ever seen in your mind? Has Satan brought up into you many visions of eternity, of hell, that you would be there, that there was no hope for you, that you were lost, that you were undone? Oh, in the midst of all your fears, and when you feared that you would sink, have you heard his voice? Has he spoken to you? "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Oh, what a mercy to hear this voice, my hearers. This is the voice of my beloved, the bride says, and this is the voice of every seeking soul. They have heard this voice. They'll never forget this voice. This is the voice that thrills through their souls and encourages them in all their distress. So it was with these disciples in the midst of this dark night upon this sea, in this storm, Jesus came to them. Oh, my hearers, this proves to us that no matter where we may be, what we may pass through, what happens to us, that Jesus can come to us. Yea, in Holland we have such a nice verse in Psalm 32. It says, "A sea may toil with all its power, But no matter how high it may go, it'll never overcome a soul who is cleaving to Jesus. All these disciples experienced it, and I have, and have you not? Have you not experienced that in the midst of all what you have passed through, all your concerns, that Jesus has come to you and spoken to you and encouraged you? These disciples immediately lost all their fears. They were so frightened, but now it was all gone. We see that in Peter. Immediately Peter says unto the Lord, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. See how Peter immediately lost his fears? Immediately Peter received such faith, such strong faith. He had such love and such affection to Jesus that he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid thee come unto thee. He didn't want to go himself. You remember, just before Jesus was going to ascend up into heaven, then Peter, he had heard that it was Jesus that was on the shore, and they weren't anywhere near the shore yet, but he jumped out of the boat and he swam to the shore. He wanted to be by Jesus, but he didn't do that this time. No, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. He wanted Jesus to say, come. He wanted the word to come. He was ready to come. He was willing to come. He was not afraid to come, but he wanted Jesus to say, come. And Jesus said, come. This is what he wanted. This is the answer that he received. We see Peter clambering over the ship and getting down on the water, and he begins to walk on the water. Just like Jesus. See what strong faith does, my hearers? Oh, when Jesus bids us come, has he bid you to come? Have you ever heard his voice in this life? Has he ever said to you, those that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out? And has he said unto you, come all ye that are heavy laden and burdened and weary, and I will give you rest? Has that word come ever come to you? I am sure if you have had that come to you, then you were ready to forsake everything, to leave everything. Yeah, you were ready to walk upon the sea, to go to Jesus. Why, every soul that hears this voice come is constrained to leave everything for the sake of Jesus Christ. This word come, Peter received, and immediately he began to walk upon the water. See how strong his faith was. But he had his eye upon Jesus. But when he turned his eye from Jesus and he saw the wind boisterous and the waves, then he got a thought in his mind, suppose I should sink now. You see, he immediately lost his strong faith. He began to fear. He began to tremble that if he should immediately sink, then he would drown. So near to Jesus, so close to him, he had just been relieved of all his fears, and now he was filled with fear again. He just looked away from Christ, and he feared that he would sink. And what he feared took place. He began to sink. And now Peter, he was a fisherman. He knew how to swim, but he made no attempt to swim. He made no attempt to save himself. He just began to sink. And as he began to sink, then we find that he still had faith. He cried out, Lord, save me. This was a cry of distress, a cry of need. It was but a short prayer. Lord, save me. He felt that he needed Jesus to save him. Oh, my hearers, how different was Peter from the moment that he got out of the boat till a few moments later walking on the water. Oh, see how different it can become in such a short space of time. Oh, you may have sometimes such a strong faith like David had. He said, with my God, he says, I leap over a wall and I run through a troop. But when he hideth his face, he says, I am troubled. And so it is. You may have such strong faith given to you, especially when God begins a good work of grace in a person's soul and overcomes that soul with his love and with his favor and dandles him upon his knees. Oh, then you love the Lord. Then you have everything over for the Lord. You can do everything for him. You can leave everything. But oh, you never knew that you would meet with so many trials and so many troubles and so many afflictions in life. And they come sometimes so soon upon a soul. Every person is not given a certain length of time to enjoy his first love. It is God's prerogative to leave a soul in this according to his sovereignty. And so here we find Peter. He had to cry to Jesus to save him. How many of you have been brought to cry this? Have you been by the Spirit of God, emptied and stripped, and have you been brought to a place where you can't save yourself? Is this your prayer? Lord, save me. It's a short prayer. It's to the point. It ain't many words, my hearers, but it came from a heart that was in true need and that needed to be saved. Do you need that? Or is it just with your mind? Is it just with your lips? Oh, what a mercy to feel your need to be saved by Jesus Christ. He's a Savior. He came to save. He's able to save. His name is Jesus. He saves his people from their sins. And this is the reason that Peter was brought to this place, that he would experience that Jesus is able to save. He saved him from drowning. Immediately, he stretched out his arm. And he grabbed hold of Peter and raised him up. And he, with Peter, were immediately in the ship. Have you ever experienced that his arm came underneath you? That the everlasting arms were underneath you when you were sinking, you feared that you would sink? That everything seemed to be against you and that even God was against you? But suddenly you found the everlasting arms of his love underneath you, holding you up. Oh, this is what Peter found in the midst of this dark night, in this sea in which he was. He was brought immediately into the ship. And now another wonder took place. No more than Jesus got into this ship, the storm ceased. Not a half hour, not an hour later, immediately. The wind was brought to be calm, and the waves subsided, and they were in this night on the sea, a very calm sea. Oh, what a wonder this must have been to these disciples. Oh, what they had experienced in this dark night. They had experienced many things with Jesus before. They had been confirmed in their faith that he was the Son of God. But now in this night, they had more faith given to them to believe that he was the Son of God. For they had seen him walking upon the sea. They had seen him take Peter out of the sea. And then when he got into the boat, immediately the storm subsided and everything was calm. He is the one that causes the wind to blow and causes the waves to raise up on high. But he is the one also that brings the storm to a calm, as he did here before his disciples. And when they were given to see and to realize who it was and what he had done for them, how he had come to them in this dark night, had come to the ship, had entered into the ship with them, and brought the storm to cease, they were so convinced that he was the Son of God, that they came and they fell down before him and worshiped him. They had such faith and love and exercise that they said, truly, thou art the Son of God. no wavering, no doubts, no unbelief. No, he was the Son of God for them. Have you ever been brought there, my hearers? Oh, blessed place to be brought. Oh, truly to believe that that one that has been leading you, that has helped you time and again, has been with you through all the scenes and concerns of this life, that he is Jesus, the Son of God, even for your soul. And we find that this ship immediately was brought to land. How wonderful this is. When Jesus comes on board the ship, then, my hearers, everything becomes column. Everything is right, and we are in the right way, and we are soon in the place where we are to go. So it was with these disciples. And when they landed on the shore, they landed in a place called Gennesareth. This place was named after the sea, Gennesareth. And the people in this place, they immediately knew who Jesus was. They were not like their neighbors, who were the Gadarenes, because the Gadarenes, they had prayed Jesus that he would depart out of their coast. But these people, when they knew, it says, when the men of that place knew that it was Jesus, then they went throughout the whole place, gathering all the sick and all the afflicted together. We see in this that the fame of Jesus had spread throughout this place, that he, who was the prophet sent by God, who had done so many miracles and so many wonders, had healed so many that were sick, so many that were blind, that were lepers, so many that were lame and maimed, they had been cured by him. Yea, he had even raised the dead. And this had been noised abroad. And now these men, they seen that Jesus was in their town, in their place. And they started to go from house to house to everybody. No matter who they were that were afflicted and sick, they went to the door and they told him, come on, come on, Jesus is here. This wonderful prophet, just come with us. If you can't, we'll carry you. All you have to do is touch him and you'll be made well. They had such strong faith concerning the power of Jesus to heal all that were afflicted. And they brought all their afflicted ones upon beds, and those that could walk, they brought them to Jesus. And they just prayed to him that they may but touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made whole. How wonderful this must have been in this place. Oh, how wonderful it would be if Jesus was on earth at the present time. Wouldn't we take our sick and our afflicted ones, those that we know, that we love, those that have been afflicted such a long time, such a number of them amongst us likewise? Oh, what a mercy. But we can't do that now. We can't take them to them bodily. But we have, by the goodness of God, a gift of prayer, whereby we can call upon him, that he may also do these wonders even at the present time. For he is still the same. He's mighty. He's able to do so. Oh, that we may remember each other at the throne of grace, that we may remember the sick, the weak, and the afflicted amongst our number, and all that Jesus may visit them and lay his hand upon them and make them well, that his fame may likewise be spread abroad in this way. These people that done this, they were given such strong faith, but this was not saving faith. This was but miraculous faith. They believed that Jesus, by a miracle, could cure these people. And now you may experience this in this life. You may be sick, you may be afflicted, you may be nigh unto death, and God may spare you and raise you up again, but this is not saving faith, my hearers. If this is all that you have, you never had a new heart given to you, you never had a new life planted in your soul, you never had a true need for Jesus to save you from your sins, then you still will perish. Oh, that every one of us may be given to pray, that he may give unto us that true saving faith, and that he who is at the right hand of the Father, may be our intercessor, our mediator, our Savior, our Redeemer. The Lord bless the poor teaching this afternoon to your immortal souls. That's all for today.